Huh? And I remember watching those days when we watched movies, there was always the man and the woman at the last time, you know, sunset in the background, nice sea in the back, and the guy looks at the girl and he goes something like, "I'm lost and I need a map because I'm lost in your eyes." And she kisses him, then the cameras pull back, and the end. Ooh, what a nice way to end. All the ladies love that kind of ending. Guys like it when all the guys are dead all over the place, bleeding, heads cut off, arms cut off, and the hero walks up all bloodied and beaten, and he walks. That's a good ending for a guy, right? A guy's ending, man, that's a hero, man. He rides up into the sunset. But this morning, we're going to look at a very sad ending in the Bible. And it's taken from the book of Malachi. This is the last book of the Old Testament. And it's not a very nice message to preach. Many preachers try to avoid preaching on this subject. But we have to look at it because we have to see the heart of God as he begins to close a chapter on Israel. Israel at this time is enjoying tremendous privileges. They are so blessed. God has blessed them all the way. They've got their temple worship going freely, and no enemy can touch them at this point of time. And so they're having a tremendous time just enjoying the blessings of God. And then suddenly God begins to speak to them. Listen to what he says. Let's go to Malachi chapter 1. Can we have the scriptures up? Verses 1, verse 6 through verse 14. Everybody ready to read the word? Don't I have it on the screen? Can't I have it on my screen? No? Not on my screen. Okay. Everybody ready to read the word? While I'm standing, you might as well stand. Where is it? I'm standing and you are sitting. All right. Reading the word of God. Let's honor the word of the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's go. A son honors his father. A servant honors his owner. But if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a boss, where is my respect? Says the Lord of all to you, O religious leaders who hate my name. But you say, how have we hated your name? You are bringing unclean food to my altar, but you say, how have we made your altar unclean? Because you say the Lord's table is to be hated. Carry on. Wait. When you bring a blind animal to the altar as my gift, is it not sinful? When you bring one that cannot walk or one that is sick, is it not sinful? Why not bring it to your ruler? Would he be pleased with you? Would he receive it, says the Lord of all? Now pray for God's favor that he may be kind to us. With such gifts from your hands, will he receive any of you in kindness, says the Lord of all? Let's go. If only there were among you who would shut the gates and stop you from burning a fire on my altar for nothing. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of all, for I will not receive a gift in worship from you. From sunrise to sunset, my name will be great among the nations. Special perfume will be given to my name everywhere, and a grain gift that is pure. For in my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord. Let's go on. But you are making it unclean when you say that the table of the Lord is unclean and that its food is to be hated. You say, how tired it makes us. And you turn your nose away from it, says the Lord of all. You bring what was stolen, what cannot walk, what is sick, and you bring this as your gift. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? A curse will come upon the sinful man who promises to give a male from his flock, but gives an animal that is not perfect to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of all, and my name is feared among the nations. And God bless his word, as you may be seated. Bless you too. Now, the whole context is God, basically the title of the message is, where is my honor? Where is my honor? So, it comes from the heart of a God. Actually, it's a broken heart. God has come to the end of himself in that sense, end of the people as well. And all through, he starts off in the first couple of verses. He says, now, I have loved you. That's how he begins. In verse 2, I think he starts off by saying, I have loved you. And you say, where have you loved me? So what he's saying is, I beget you. In other words, I gave birth to you who were no one. You were not even a nation. You were part of a Babylonian culture. But I called Abraham out and I gave birth to you as a nation. Then I began to bless you in every way. You became the head and not the tail. And you became lenders and not borrowers. And you became wealthy. And all the nations of the earth were beginning to get blessed because of you. And how he cared for them. You know, all through the scriptures, as you read through Isaiah and all that, a mother can forget her child, but I will not forget you. While you were still in your blood, when you were born and out there in your filth, I picked you up. You were drinking water from broken cisterns, but I came and gave you living water. So he's pouring his heart out all from Genesis right unto the book of Malachi. Then when he comes to the end of it, he says, my goodness, and yet you guys don't understand that I have loved you. The whole gospel, the whole Christian, all of Christianity is based upon one thing. God so loved the world. God is not against us. He is for us. Come on, amen. For God so loved, I have loved you. God so loved us, for those who have not heard this message, that God gave his son to be crucified for us. In other words, he took our sin that we might be free from sin completely. God has liberated us from sin. We have been forgiven of our sin. Every religion on the face of the earth offers some kind of sacrifice because deep down they realize that it is only death that can buy the price for freedom or for forgiveness. So they offer animals, they offer all kinds of stuff. So Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God that came and took away all our sins. Amen. All right. So we sing because he has done this for us. I sing, right? And so we all sang. The problem is we limit our singing only to the song. But we need to continually have a song in our hearts to just praise him and thank him that he loves us. Come on. God loves you.
Amen. Yes, I think so. I hope so. I don't know what's happening in my life. Is it true, Pastor? Listen, whatever is happening in your life does not change the fact that God loves you. And so he starts off by saying, I love you. Now, then he goes into this thing where he says, if I am your father, so you know that, you know, in other words, he's saying, you know that I've always been like a father to you. I've never been like, you know, a dictator over your lives, demanding things from you. I've always led you kindly. In fact, the Bible says when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, when he took them out, he made sure that they went at a pace where even the child could follow. He didn't march them through the wilderness, you know, okay, now you're all strong. Everybody, let's go, let's go. He made sure that even all people and children could follow them, making sure that the pillar would lead them slowly. God has always been a good God and always will be. God is good. Come on. All the time. And all the time, God is good. All, he cannot change himself. God is good. Jesus himself said, there is none good but God. Come on. Amen. All right. So he begins like that. But then, it's like, all that I have done for you, you have not given me any honor. Where is my honor? You have not honored me at all. And so I'm going to close the chapter on you. I'm going to give you up to your own. I'm going to leave the scene. I'm going to back off. And for the next 400 years, God did not speak at all. He shut the chapter, and the book closes with a very sad note. This is the book that closes with the word curse. It begins with, in the beginning, God. God explodes on the scene with creation. But he closes the chapter with the word, I will strike the world with a curse. Why this sudden change? He said, because you have not learned to honor me. All right. So the first point I want to bring to you this morning is, how can I learn to honor God? Number one, right? Do we have the notes? Do we have it up there?
Number one, let's go. I must acknowledge that He is Almighty God. Now, He starts off by saying, if I am your father, where is my honor? Then He changes the note. And throughout, now the modern translation doesn't put it out as strongly as I'd like it to sound, or I'd like the Bible to sound. King James Version, New King James Version, He keeps repeating this phrase, says the Lord of hosts. There are 14 verses in this chapter, and 8 times He refers to Himself as the Lord of hosts. Now, if you've got Bibles with you, which I hope you have, you will notice that the word Lord throughout the Bible is always capital letters. Capital L-O-R-D. The Lord, then God, is capital G, small O, small D. So the Lord, as we shared in a Bible study, the word Lord means the possessor and disposer of everything. The possessor and disposer of everything. That's what Lord means. So when we say, Lord, I worship you, Lord, I worship you, we simply means you are the possessor and the disposer of everything. Come on, amen. Now He changes the tone. He says, now listen, I'm not going to talk to you as a father anymore. I'm going to talk to you as the Lord of hosts. So you don't hear Him say, says the Father. It's says the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. And He says, for great is the Lord, and I am a great king. So we have to change in our thinking as to, you know, God is good. And I get this every day. Different people send me different things. This is the word for today. And God is saying this to you. You're going to have success. God is going to bless you. All things are going to work well for you. All these things are good. All these things are good. But we fail to understand that it only happens when we acknowledge and walk worthy of Him who has called us. He is the Lord God Almighty. Come on, amen. And we forget that. And we come into this teaching of grace and we think that grace simply means that God is the Father, full stop. But He's still God Almighty. He is still the great King. And we will all have to stand before Him because He is our Creator. Come on. Amen. See, this is the thing we fail to understand. We fail to understand that God is truly Almighty God. There is no fear. My name is to be feared among the nations. And sadly, you know, we have to acknowledge that there is not much fear of God being taught now in the house of God. David said, come and let me teach you the fear of the Lord. So this morning it is more to teach you the fear of the Lord, to teach you the fear of the Lord, how to understand that God is really God. And we don't approach Him, with a tida upa attitude kind of thing. You know, if I want to approach, I can worship Him anytime I want to. You know, God is good, God is wonderful, He will forgive me anyway. And we speak to Him once a while and we limit Him to a few, you know, like giving God a little tip kind of thing. So God is God. Our Father is the Almighty God. And one day we will all stand before Him. This is the beautiful thing about living with eternity in your mind, in your life. Huh? You know that one day you will just step over. Somebody just sent an article. I do not know who. I think Sister Wendy. Sister Wendy, are you here in the service? No. She sent something to our cell group on the German, what's his name there? Help me. Michael Schumacher. Champion. How many times? 7 times. 8 times. World champion. Multimillionaire. His wife is now selling things in order to get money to support him. He is a vegetable. Right? How did that happen? One small stone on a skiing thing. Hit the stone. Hit his head. Everything changed. In a moment, from being the champion of the world to being a vegetable in a bed. Anything can change. Any moment, anything can happen in our lives. We don't realize that. That's why I say to people, hey, listen, we're just one heartbeat away from God, man. All He has to do is just stop our heartbeat. We are gone. And where do we go? We stand in the presence of Almighty God. I love God. I thank Him. He loves me with an everlasting love. That's what He said to the people. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I am forever married to you. All these things He has said to them. And then now He's going to close the chapter on them and say, where's my honor? You know I'm all this to you, but you don't honor me. So I have to speak to you now as Almighty God. I am the Lord God Almighty. Acknowledge that God is who He is. That's how I honor Him. Come on, amen. James chapter 2 verse 19 says, you believe in God? You believe that God is God? Wonderful. The devils also believe and they tremble. Christians believe, but they don't tremble. Huh? We don't fear God at all. We don't realize that He is actually God. We don't trifle with God. Walk softly in His presence. He says, man, you guys show more respect to the rulers that rule over you than you show me respect. That's what He's basically saying. All right, let me go very quickly. Number two. How else can I honor God? I just asking myself, how else can I honor you, God, all right? Number two, I respect His house. See, He's saying this. Listen, He talks about how you guys treat my house. You have despised the altar and the table of the Lord. You show no respect for my house. In verse 10, a modern translation would put it like this. You might as well shut the doors of the house because whatever you're doing there makes no sense at all. Whatever you're doing inside of my house makes no sense. So you might as well shut and close all the practices because what you're doing is you're drawing close to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Now, church, I know this is a hard message, but we need to listen to this, man. I think this is the heartbeat of God. I think God's heart is kind of broken, and I don't want Him to close the chapter on me. I want Him in this very book itself. I will open the windows of heaven. I will pour out a blessing. I want that one. Come on. But He says, you know, you don't show respect for me in my house. How can I show respect for God in the house? Well, when songs are being sung, sing along with all your heart. Get involved in the song. When songs of worship are being sung towards Him, join in that worship. Come on. Don't just sing the song. Worship Him. This is a song about worshiping God. Some of the songs are fast and vibrant. Get involved with that song. Come on. I will. That's why you see me in the front. You see me getting involved in it. Why? Because I want to honor God in His house. Amen. You're very quiet, huh? I can honor Him by my praising of Him. I can honor God in my worship. When it comes to worship, I will worship Him. And when the worship stops, I still worship. Because I'm worshiping Him. My worship of Him does not stop when the song stops. That's why you hear us go, hallelujah, Lord, I love you, Lord, I worship you. We continue to worship because He's still worthy of worship. I'm in His house, and I know that I'm worshiping God. Thank God for songs. Come on. Amen? Thank God for songs. Respect of His house. David said, he said, one day in your house or one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, Psalm 84, verse 10. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the courts of, or in the tents or palace of the wickedness. He says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Come, Psalm 122 and verse 1, about coming into the house of God. Let's go into the house of God. I was so glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Come on, amen. How many of you were sad when somebody woke you up and said, it's time for church? Were you sad or were you glad? I was sharing with the Tamil section just last week. I preached basically this message. Of course, I also preach on honoring the pastor, but I preach basically on this one. And I said, now many of you don't realize, but I come a little bit earlier. I come very early, in fact, very, very early, while it is still very, very dark. And I go, I pray here first. Then when the pastor begins to come in, pray a little bit. Then I go into that room there. Y'all know that there's a room at the side there? All right. I go inside that room, but I don't turn on the lights. So from inside, I can see you, but you can't see me. And I can see how you park your cars, and I can see how you walk to church. I can see exactly how you walk to church. And I said, sometimes the service, just even today, service begins at 8 o'clock. You're coming in at 8:45, 9 o'clock. And I see you walking to church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then the moment you come in, the music starts going on. I said, you walk out, you go and buy vegetables. You're frightened that if you go later, somebody else will buy first. I stand there. I've seen many of you coming like this. I said, now all of you are getting angry. How come our pastor go and watching us, huh? I said, you're not angry with Jesus watching you? This is his house. You're coming to his house. You're taking your own sweet time. You spend a lot of time talking out there before you come into the service. Service already started. You're coming in your own sweet time. Now, some of you are beginning to say, pastor is actually hitting us. No. I'm not hitting anyone. I'm just telling you, I honor him by respecting his house. You're not worried that Jesus is seeing you, looking at you. You're worried that I'm looking at you. I'm nobody, man. You don't have to give me an explanation. Pastor, very often when people say, I cannot come or this thing happened, I say, no, well, that's fine. You know, I can accept. You see, I am Pastor David. I'm not Almighty God. If you tell me anything, I'll say, sure, I'll still hug you and love you. I said, but no point telling me. Tell God. Give God your explanation. Don't you realize that we are all dealing with God? And so we have to come to him and give our explanation. Oh, I understand. This thing happened. I understand. Of course. Pastor is more understanding than God. Because if I don't understand you, you go to the church next door. So I have to understand you, love you, cuddle you. So you tell me anything, okay, never mind, it's all right. Sometimes, even my son will say, no, but they're not really behaving like they should behave. Jonathan is more like Joshua who wants to go out there and kill somebody. I'm more like Moses standing on the mountain lifting my hands. But we all need Joshuas to get battles done. But the thing is this, show respect for the house of God. When I come in, worship him. When I show respect for one another, for the people within the house of God, when I honor them, we honor God. How can you say you love God, whom you have not seen, and not love somebody whom you see? So how do I honor God? When I start loving others and accepting others, with all their warts and whatever mistakes they may have, it's all right. Come on, amen. Honor the Lord by respecting his house. Number three, I honor God when I give him, when I listen to him. When I listen to him speaking. Number three, when I listen to him speak. On the same note, I was telling them, I said, I've noticed that some people will come because they like the worship. So they come in time for the worship, and then the moment the pastor starts speaking, they already go outside. That's the time to buy vegetables. That's the time. Just now I came in. Last Sunday I spoke this message. I said, don't miss it. How is it you can sit there? And I was speaking Tamil congregation. Now, of course, English congregation never behave like that because our movies are only an hour and a half unless you watch Mission Impossible. But even then, what did you do? I said, you went to the bathroom before you entered the cinema. Hindi movie, Tamil movie? 7 hours long, right? No. Usually about 3 hours plus. You sit there. You never move. Welcome, Yuren. sorry, we were just talking behind your back. But anyway, but you sit there. I said, after preaching this message last Sunday, this Sunday, I could see many of them walking in very fast, which was very good. And then I came in, just before the pastor was starting, the music just finished. As the music just finished, I went to the bathroom. Okay? I went out from the room, I walked to the bathroom. I was inside there. Of course, you know, the music finished straight away. One of the young guys went inside there. He started to call me, said he saw me, quickly came out. He quickly came out, and I'm inside there for a little while. Then I thought, okay, I'll just wait for a moment. Then I walked out. The moment I walked out, about 30 seconds behind him, the moment I walked out, I saw him telling a group of young guys sitting on the chair outside there, "Pastor, Pastor, come inside, come inside. Pastor, Pastor." And I saw him doing that. So I went to all of them and I said, "Pastor, Pastor." God watching? Never mind. I told them, I said, listen, if you just missed one moment, the pastor may have a word, just one sentence, just for you. But because you went out to buy vegetables, you lost that one word. The word that was for you went out, got lost. You missed it. Thomas, where were you? Out buying vegetables. When Jesus appeared in the room. Remember, Jesus appeared to all the disciples, but Thomas was not there. He missed it. And some very powerful things happened when Jesus appeared and Thomas missed it. Listen to what the preacher is saying. And don't just listen and go, "Oh, that was a nice word, that was a nice message, or I didn't like the message." Listen, when you listen, listen to obey. Listen. Listen, listen, listen. All the blessings. We like these scriptures. God will make you the head and not the tail. You will be a lender and not a borrower. Oh, your vat shall overflow with new wine. Every one of these blessings, there is a word that comes before it. Obey. If you obey, you shall eat the good of the land. You shall become lenders and not borrowers. The blessings of the Lord shall... Everything that God has, one word, obey. So when I listen, it is not with the intention of just listening and saying, "Wow, that was good," but rather listening with the intention of, "How can I receive all that God has?" And then God says, "Okay, this is what you should do." And you say, "Yes, sir, I obey." Now notice, it is the Lord who is speaking, the Lord of hosts. Have you read that? It says the Lord of hosts. If you have a message translation, it will say the Lord or the God of the armies of the Lord. So he's speaking now in military language. He's saying, "I am not suggesting to you right now, I'm telling you as the commander, you have not honored me as you should have honored me. What I'm going to say to you now, I'm not speaking to you as a loving, compassionate father that I am, but I'm going to speak to you with the voice of a commander. And I'm saying this to you. You have not shown respect for my house. You have not listened to what I have said to you." That's what he says. All right? "You have not listened to me 8 times, Lord of hosts, 14, in all the 14 verses. I'm speaking to you clearly now. This is what says the Lord of hosts. Says the Lord of hosts. Says the Lord of hosts." You know, it is very sad when people begin to say that the Holy Spirit is no longer, you know, some of the grace teachings come along and say, "Now show me where in this Bible where it says the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin." Holy Spirit never convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. If he does not convict us of sin, because there's nothing to convict anymore. If that is the truth, then why is it we have the 7 books of Revelation and he keeps telling them again and again, repent. Repent. Change your way. I'm speaking to you. Who is he speaking to? The 7 churches. 5 of them were bad, but all 7 were golden. They were all golden, it says, the golden candlestands. All the 7, Jesus was walking in the midst of them. They were all his beloved. And he's speaking, listen, wherever you hear Jesus speak some hard words, or you hear me speak a hard word from the Bible, it is out of a heart of compassion. Waiting for us to change our direction. Repentance simply means I turn and start walking the other way. Repentance does not mean coming and crying at the altars. It means I change my entire behavior. Come on, amen? And when I change, oh man, the blessings are unbelievable. Come on, amen? And then, of course, lastly, he says to us, how do I honor him? I give him my best. This whole book closes with how they have treated God dishonorably. Food you offer, polluted food. Sacrifices you bring to me, because you are so blessed, all your crops are doing so well. Your chickens are all nice and fat. Your sheep are all good. But when there is a lamb that is not, when it's time to sacrifice, you look out for the sick one, and then you bring that to me. You look out for the food that is polluted, and then you bring that one to me. You don't give me your very best. He says, take the same thing and give it to your rulers and see if they accept or not. When you go and visit somebody, you're one of your big shots, take flowers that are faded. All the petals dropping off. Go and give it to him and see whether he accepts it. And say, what a wonderful person you are. You brought me a bouquet of flowers. I mean, try that even with your wife. Lah. Just go pick up a bunch of flowers from the cemetery and go give your wife. I bought these flowers for you, dear. Come on. Will they accept it? And yet you say, I'm Almighty God, and this is how you treat me. Then he concludes with chapter 3. Let's go. Let's see chapter 3. Do we have chapter 3? No, the last one. I'll give him my best. The last point. No more last point. All right, go on. My sheep hear my voice. Are you hearing his voice? You're hearing? Are you hearing something or not? I hope you are. All right, next one. The last one. Put on the other points. Number 4, I will give him my best. Don't have. Oh, man, don't have. Somebody get me a Bible. Somebody give me a Bible. I want a Bible. I want a holy Bible, not a holy iPhone. Nobody's got a holy. Give me a holy Bible. This is a holy Bible. Keith is holding a holy iPhone. Listen to this one. Malachi chapter 3. I will give him my best, okay? Now, you have all heard this scripture preached on tithing before, but let me just read it to you. Verse 7 onwards. I am the Lord. I, the Lord, do not change. Verse 6. Therefore, you are not destroyed because of my love, all right? Because that's who I am. Okay. Verse 8. Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? And he says, in tithes, in offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe. Everybody say whole tithe. All right. The whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Challenge me. Prove me, says the Lord Almighty. Now, throughout Malachi, he's referring to himself as the Lord Almighty. He's going to close the chapter, man. This is going to be a sad ending to Israel. All right? And he's saying, I cannot speak to you like I would like to speak to you. I do not change. I am the Father. I am the loving one. I am the all of this is true. I do not change. I am the Lord. I change not. Fine. But remember this one. Now I'm speaking to you as the Almighty God. Okay? You are under a curse. Test me in this and see, challenge me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room to receive it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. Vines in your field will not cast your fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed. See, that's the purpose. What's the purpose? That I will throw open the floodgates, which means what? That the floodgates are gates that you have built to prevent the blessing coming down. You have put gates to block what I've got so much to break through. And if you will obey in giving of your tithes and of your offerings, I will break those gates and cause the blessings to fall. How many of you can understand that one? Come on. They are floodgates, but they are blocking what I want to bring across to you. Okay. And you shall be, okay, you shall be blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. All right. So that's how he begins to end it. He begins to end it by saying, listen, I want to bless you. I want to bless you tremendously, but you have blocked it by your refusal to do what I told you from the very beginning. Now listen, people say, oh, tithing is under the law. No. Tithing began with Abraham. If we are Abraham's children, we tithe. A tithe is 10%. Oh, yo, Pastor, 10%? Oh, that's a lot of money, you know. That is if you're earning a lot. But to the one who's earning a little, even 10% is a lot. That's true. But don't we say that everything belongs to the Lord? If we honestly believe that everything, even the breath I have, belongs to Him, then what am I? And He says now to you, tell you what, I let you keep 90%, I take 10%. And you go, yo, so much are you one. Can bargain or not? Pastor, when we give a tithe, after deduction or, you know, after I, EPF, income tax, mother-in-law, whatever balance, then 10%. Bring the whole tithe. Come on. You all are very quiet, huh? I know you don't like me, but it's okay, I have to. This is the burden of the Lord. Deuteronomy 14:23 gives us the reason. The purpose of tithing is to teach you, write that scripture down in case you want to check with me and find out if it's in your Bible also. Deuteronomy 14:23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you. Everybody say teach. So we are all in a learning curve. If you want to see a full release, listen, sometimes when we share like this, people think, oh, you're bragging. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not being blessed because you don't do what we do. But from the time our children were small, 15 ringgit, pocket money, $1.50, they all know how to put in as tithes from the time they were children. So to them, tithing now is something natural. We all tithe. God blesses the tither, but God curses the robber. Read your Bible very carefully. No thief shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Read Revelation. I'm not kidding with you. This is God's heart. This one thing I ask of you, I didn't say I'm going to take 50% or 80%. I'm asking you to give me 10%. That also you want to hold back from me. Is that how you honor me? You're not honoring me at all. How do you honor me? And this is the ending, the closing chapter already. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. Then your banks or your barns or your finances will burst over. They will overflow. This is what God wants to bring every child. Come on, man. You as a child, as a father, as a parent, you want the very best for your children. You want them all to have big fat accounts. You want to make sure they prosper in life. Don't you think the Heavenly Father, who is far greater in love and compassion, wants greater things for us? I am what I am, and I am blessed the way I am simply because God is true to His word. When He says, obey me in this, I will bless you, He will. The reason why we say, oh, I cannot afford to give, Pastor. No, you cannot afford not to give. My giving is not measured by how much I give. So He tells every person, very simple, if you're getting 100 ringgit a month, give 10 ringgit. You don't have to compare yourself with a guy who's giving 100 ringgit because he's getting 1,000 ringgit. Everybody equal, 10% of what you are getting. If you're getting 15 ringgit, like my children get a week or whatever it is. Was it a week or a month? I think. Anyway, you give $1.50. That belongs to God. No talk one. That is income tax of heaven so you can continue to breathe. But when you give the tithes and then you give the offerings, which go beyond what you are already giving of your tithes, then He says, I will make sure that there nothing blocks the finances or whatever I want to pour out on you. Can I hear an amen? All right, now here's the thing. One more thing I'm going to add. How many of you want to be established in God? You want to be established in God? How many of you? Come on. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many of you want to prosper? Okay, 7. Okay. So, you want to be established in God and you want to prosper. Here's the word. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. Listen to this. Believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe in His prophets, His servants, and you shall prosper. Believe in His prophets, His servants, you shall prosper. Understand, how do I honor the man of God? You honor God, now He's saying, you honor me, you will be established. You honor the man of God, you shall prosper. How do I honor the man of God? Number one, acknowledge his authority. See, it is not his. You may not like me. 75% say amen. If it has nothing to do with you liking me, it has to do with the position that I hold. Eli was not a very likable minister. He was a bad pastor. His children were bad. He was bad. He didn't care about running the church properly. The flame would go off in the temple. He would have nothing. I mean, the man just was concentrating on all the good food. Do you know in the Bible times when they sacrificed the animals, all the fat of the lamb, you know, the lamb with the fat was given to the priest. Hallelujah. All the fat part, that one is given to the priest. Huh? So he enjoyed. I mean, if pork was allowed, samjang. Hoyo, bakute every day. The man was so fat, he died sitting in a chair. He just rocked back a little bit. The chair fell. He broke his neck and died. That's how he died. That's how bad he was. No self-control, nothing. His children, no self-control, nothing. Well, what happened? He stands in a position as a priest and he says to Hannah, "You shall have a child," and she has a child. And what does Hannah do? Of all people, she brings Samuel and puts Samuel under his care. Doesn't make sense. So Hannah recognized the position of the minister. Not so much how good he was and how well he sang or how well he preached. It's the position that he holds. That's why David said, "I will not touch God's anointed. I will not. I may not like Saul. He's after my life. He's a bad dude, man. But because he has been anointed by God, I will not touch him." Don't touch the Lord's anointed. We have said this so many times. Please. You may not like a preacher, but don't go back and talk about him. Don't for lunch have fried Pastor David. I know you all like Pastor Stefan, but don't have fried. You acknowledge the position that the man has. How else do I honor him? I listen to what he has to say. I give him my best as well. Now listen to this one. This is a scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. I'm going to try and wind this up. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that is of no advantage to you." I'm sure you've all heard this before, about this guy, in the morning, the wife wakes him up on Sunday morning and says, "Listen, it's time for us to go to church." "Yeah, I don't want to go to church today." No, come, we've got to go to church." "No, I don't want to go to church." "You got to go." "I don't like to go to church. I mean, the people there are not friendly at all, I mean, what is there?" "Well, I forgot to go." She said, "I'll give you three reasons. Number one, today is Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Number two, the house of God, you must honor. Number three, you are the pastor." Don't let them do this with groaning. Let them do this with joy. I told the Tamil congregation, I said, service begins at 8 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, some people, 2 or 3 people come to pray. At 6 o'clock, your pastor is already here. Why does he do this? Why? Because he's watching over your souls. He's praying that God will, purify him so that he'll bring a fresh word from the throne to your hearts. He cares for you. He does this. Who's the one whom you call when you are in the hospital? Your pastor. When you are getting married, who performs the dedication? Who performs the burial? Who goes to your home, visits with you all at birthday party, you call him. You want to go to the market, you call him. Who's the one who runs a taxi service for you? I mean, he does all these things for you and you dare to open your mouth and speak against him. Honor the Lord. Honor the servant of the Lord. Listen, he watches over your soul. Don't let him come to me and say time and again, "Pastor, enough already, La Pastor. I want to quit already. I cannot, La Pastor. Really, I cannot. All these things happening to me, Pastor." Let him do it joyfully, not tearfully. Honor the man of God. Come on. 1 Timothy 5:17. "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." So I said to the Tamil congregation, I said, double honor. So when you see somebody, you go, "Praise the Lord, brother. You see your pastor, you go, praise the Lord, pastor. Praise the Lord, pastor. Why? Double honor. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Why? Double honor. Is that what you say? No, man. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Come on. Pastors will never preach a message like this. In other words, give a double offering to the pastor. Come on. Honor him. He labors in the word. He watches over your soul. Who watches over your soul? Your boss wants to only get rich from you. Do they honor you? No. They just want to make sure you make them rich. But we honor them. But the man of God, you know, people pay tons of money to go for positive speaking. You know what is positive speaking? Just to attend a conference for positive speaking. And the man, and they use things from the word of God. They try to steal our thunder. And here we are telling you in the presence of God, by the anointing of the Spirit of God, that this is what God wants of you. Honor the servant of the Lord. So today we're going to take up a second offering. Now, some of you are already getting worried. Already you talk tight, now he's asking for money. Every time I come to his church, you're talking, visitors here for the first time, they're going, I told you, I go to that church, me sure they talk about money. First time coming to church. Hi-yo, I told you, now go to that kind of church, charismatic churches, always talking about money. This is the first time I'm talking, brother, okay? So sorry. Sorry. But this is the first, but we need to know this because honestly, if you want to see, I really want to see all of us get so blessed. I am tremendously blessed. I mean, not to be envied, but I can say, follow me as I follow Christ. Honestly, my family is tremendously blessed. My children, my grandchildren. I mean, we've got more than enough. I thank God for wonderful leadership in our church. But I have to fight them. Past 2 years, I had to fight them to tell them, I don't want an increase. When I share this with pastors, other pastors in other countries, they go, you really are? I said, yes, I've got the best church in the world. I have to fight them to say, no more increment. For myself, not for the others. For me and my wife, no more increment. I don't want increment anymore because I've got more than enough. Come on. You've seen me wear the same clothes. I mean, the clothes that I have, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, given. You don't believe. I told somebody, I said, you know, a good brother back there drives a Harley into my yard and puts it there and said, Pastor, this morning or so, he told me, Pastor, this is for you. It's for you. He assured me again. I said, you can come and take the bike. He says, no, Pastor, that bike is for you. And Brother Yap is going, you are a joke too much. I cannot believe you. It's true. I am so blessed already. I mean, the blessing of the Lord overflows. Come on. It really over. I have proven this when you start believing God. That is the plan. God loves to see his children prospering. Man, you're doing so well. Wonderful. But he says, you're blocking it all, man. You've put up floodgates. And I want to break those gates and send the blessing out to you that there will be no room to receive it. Amen. Believe God, believe his servants. You shall prosper. Stand with me, please. Thank you, brother. This is especially blessed Bible. Now, this morning we are going to take our...